Pastor, thank you for the invitation to be here with you today, and I'm so happy to be here. Actually, I'm at the greatest disadvantage of anyone here. I hardly know any of you. I'm reminded about a man who went to his 60th high school reunion. He was a widower. And during the first 15 minutes of him being there, he met one of his classmates, a lady who was a widow. And at the end of that 15 minutes or so, he asked her to marry him. I tell you, if you're that age, you better get with it. Well, he worried all night. He just couldn't hardly sleep because he couldn't remember whether she said yes or no. They had exchanged phone numbers, and so he called her the next morning, and he said, "Oh, I've just been up all night." Said, "I was so excited to meet you last night, but I cannot remember if you said yes or no." She said, "Oh, I said yes. Who is this?" I'm afraid some of you are going to be wondering, "Well, who are you?" Well, your pastor has introduced me and my wife. God has placed in our life several people that we have not known before. One of the wonderful blessings of being able to travel and get beyond the walls of the church that you minister to for so many years is to meet all these good people and good churches that are preaching the gospel. Amen? And thank you, Pastor, again for letting me come and be a part of today's service. Would you stand to your feet as we read God's Word today? Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. At the end of chapter 3, there is one of 650 prayers in the Bible. There are actually three of those prayers in the letter to the church at Ephesus, to the Christians there who were there. I want to read that middle prayer, if I might, beginning in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. All God's people are ready? Say amen. Amen. All right, here we go. "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." I want us to center our thoughts on that last verse, verse number 21. The Bible says here, "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's read that verse out loud together. Ready? Let's begin together. "Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." But let's read it one more time. And then let's just add the words Bible Baptist Church. Let's make it this church. Let's read it out loud together. "Unto Him be glory in the Bible Baptist Church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word today that's going to give us some real help today. I pray that advantage will be taken of the opportunities that your word is going to teach us today. I pray the Holy Spirit will help me. It'll help those that hear today. And even beyond our gathering today, that it might help us in the days ahead in the decisions we need to make to bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Verse 21 begins with a purpose statement, unto Him be glory. That is the purpose of your life. Your purpose on life is to do whatever you do to the glory of God. If you can't do it to the glory of God, you shouldn't do it. If you can do it to the glory of God, keep doing it. The Bible says, unto Him be glory. And it also says, we're to do it by Christ Jesus. That is, the one that the focus of life is to be on is not you, but Jesus. By Christ Jesus, we bring glory to God. See, there's only one star in the church. That's the bright and morning star, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all to be pointing the attention to Him. We're all to be focusing our lives upon Him, Jesus Christ. Now, some people believe Jesus is important, but they don't believe He's all that important. Some people believe that it's really okay to think highly of Him, but you shouldn't go too far. Well, I think you and I know better than that, because He's the only Savior of the world. He's the conquering King that will come back and will introduce Himself to a world that's denied Him, and they will bow their knee and confess with their mouths that He's Lord. So all of our life is really about Jesus Christ. I hope that you know Him today. I hope there's been a time in your life when you have said an eternal yes to Him, that you've understood that without Him, you'll not spend eternity with Him, and that today you'll do that if you haven't done it. It's that phrase in between those statements, though, the purpose statement and the person statement, that I want to talk about today. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. And you know, according to the Bible, that's a place as well as a people. See, in the Bible, churches always were in a place. You could always go there. You could always meet with them there. It was a place. Every church in the Bible had a location attached to it most often. It was the church at Ephesus, as we read out of this text. Or it was at another church, the churches of Galatia, or all the other places that were attached to that. But don't get the wrong idea. It wasn't just about the cities they met in, but the people that made up that gathering in those cities. Unto Him be glory in the church. And so, really, that's about both a place and a people. And I want to talk about that today. Will you let me do that? Well, thank you very much. I won't ask for permission. I'll just go ahead and do it. The word church that is translated in our King James Bible, the church, is the Greek word ekklesia. It's a compound word, ek, out of, kale, means to call. And so it gives the emphasis on the fact that the church is a called out people. You know, that's how salvation begins. We're called out by God. And He called us. If you want salvation reduced to its simplest form, He called and we said yes. Now, I know there are a lot of things in between that, but we're a called out people. And you know, along the way now, we're being called out from the world. That's sanctification. We're being called out by the Lord to live a life that brings Him honor and glory. Well, while we're in the world, we're not of the world. And I'm glad to not only know that one day God called me as a 10-year-old boy and I said yes, and along the way, He's been calling me out of the world for the world while I'm in the world, that praise God also, one of these days I'm going to hear a call that says, come on, Jerry, let's go to heaven. Amen? Now, some people are all nervous about that. They're nervous about, oh my, you shouldn't talk about that. It may happen. Hey, whether you talk about it or not, it's going to happen. One of these days, your life is going to, the expiration date's going to occur, and God's going to call you out of this place, and thank God for that. I've lived more life than I ever thought I'd live. I always thought people my age were old, but I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that. Matter of fact, there's some people here that are old enough. I don't know. You may not be that old, but it looks like you've been living old. Some of you may have been around when the Dead Sea was just sick. I'm not sure about that. Now, don't push me on that. You ought to be happy about being called home. Now, I know that we don't like to see people die, and we grieve over that, but they don't want to come back if they're a believer in Christ. God's going to call you one day. It started out at salvation. Along the way, we've been being called out to be a separated people, and now one of these days, God's going to call us out. After all these years of being in ministry, about 58 now, I've come to a real simple conclusion. And I've talked about one of them in the morning service in the Sunday school hour. That people need to open up the Bible. You can't live the good life without the good book. You got to be a people of the book. You've got to know the Bible. You got to live the Bible. You got to share the Bible. That's one of my conclusions. Not only do we need to open up the Bible, here's my second conclusion. We need to show up to church. Oh, I know, I underwhelmed you, didn't I? I could tell some of you thought, my, is that the most profound thing that you've thought about? Listen, can you really think of it? Think about it. What if every child of God who's a member of Bible Baptist Church Sepulpa showed up today, and then they showed up tonight, and then they showed up Wednesday? Oh my, and they came with a Bible in hand, and they came with a prayer on their heart and a tithe in their Bible. Folks, revival would break out if people just start showing up to church. You talk about this parking lot out here. If every place was full and we were parking on the street, the neighborhood would begin to take notice of the fact, what's going on? The world will come out and watch you burn if you'll get on fire. Show up to church. Let me just lay some little gems along the way that'll help you maybe remember this Bible message today. You can't live a good life without the good book, and you can't live the good life without gathering with God's people in the church. Here's what I'm telling you about. First of all, it's our doctrine. Our doctrine is built upon the words of God. God inspired the words. We don't believe in Bibles that are just simply put together thoughts. We believe words have consequences. We believe they have power. We believe they have purpose. God inspired the words of the Bible. Say amen to that if you believe it. The Bible word for church is called out assembly. The churches in the Bible were local, visible congregations of baptized believers that got together each week to worship God. It's our doctrine. Amen. Now, there are a lot of gatherings. Oh, I tell you, there's a gathering down at Walmart regularly. Now, I've been able to forego that. I had to go this last week. My wife usually goes for me. That's how people go to church. Well, my wife goes for me, you know, But I don't like Walmart. It's such a horrible place to go. And self-checkout. What happened to all the people that used to check you out? They got the worst carts in the world. Ba-bum, 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 ba-bum. Oh, my. They're gathering. I really like the gathering down at the donut shop. I'm into Whole Foods. You got it. Folks, God's people ought to be gathered people. We ought to be a gathering people. We ought to look forward to the gathering of God's people. The church is the church of the living God. We're here to honor God. We're here to recognize God. We're here to say thanks to Jesus for starting the church during His own personal ministry and for perpetuating the church down through every age. We're here today because Jesus loved the church and gave Himself for it. He purchased the church with His own blood. He commissioned the church. It's the pillar and ground of the truth. Amen. Our doctrine tells us it's really important that we gather with the church. Amen. It's also, the gathered church is our DNA. What do you mean by that, preacher? Well, I mean that God's people are a gathered people. How many saved people here today? Anybody saved? Okay. Let me ask you a question. Raise your hand and it won't hurt you unless you're old. How many people were saved in a church service? Raise your hand. Raise them up really high. Now, that's a good number. That's nearly, I'm raising my hand up as well. Thank you. That's a great majority. You know what I'm finding out is we're having less people saved because we're having less people in church. If we had more people in church, if you were inviting folks to be in church and gathering them here with you, I think we'd have more people saved. And what happens with saved folks who get saved, and you get saved anywhere. You can get saved wherever the gospel is preached, and thank God for that. But what a great place the gathered church is that puts us in an atmosphere to know this is a great place to gather each week. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another." Nobody made me go by yesterday to see my only granddaughter at OU. That was hard, driving on that campus. Are you kidding? I'm a Longhorn fan. But, I love that girl. We love that girl. And my wife and I were so happy to be able to spend just a little bit of time with her in her busy schedule. But you know, if you have a love for somebody, you want to gather with them. You know you pass from death unto life because you love the brethren. It's not an unnatural thing for Christians to gather. What's hard for some people who say they're Christians to gather is the problem is they just need a little bit more salvation. Some of them didn't get the real deal, maybe. They may have made a profession. They may have gotten wed and gone through a ceremony. But folks, those are people that are really saved. God put something in your heart for the gathered church. You know, the greatest mission field in America is among non-church-going church people who used to gather. That's a great mission field. Think of all the numbers that have come through this church over the many years of its ministry. Think about those who used to come. That's a great mission field. We ought to be burdened about that, that there are people that are not coming to church now that ought to be here, and maybe they just need a kind call from you. Now, don't step out of you. Don't do what you're thinking about. You're ripping them up down one side and down the other won't get them here. Heard about one guy that just gotten saved. He was on fire for God. He wanted to do something, so the pastor gave him some church stationery and a list of people who hadn't been there in a while. And one of the prominent doctors who had been a member but hadn't attended in a while wrote a little letter back and said, "I'll be there Sunday, God willing. I'm going to have my tithe with me and my family's going to be with me." And said, "Would you please tell your secretary that there's only one T in dirty and no C in skunk?" Maybe you're one of those guys that like to fire people up about not being church. You need to love folks. This is part of our DNA. That's who we are. Now, I would be a little more than a bit concerned about a salvation that's supposed to take you to heaven when you die, but it doesn't take you to church when you're alive. Now, there may be reasons why you can't always be here or you can't be here because of certain circumstances, but folks, I'm telling you, you let me turn me loose right now. I might get, here's what I'm saying. If you can go to Walmart or Home Depot, you can go to church. If you can go to the beauty shop, and I don't do that very much, obviously. Not any beauty there, not any hair there to cut, so I don't do that. But if you can go to all those places, y'all be able to go to church. It's a part of our DNA. We ought to look forward to it. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let's go to the house of the Lord." Now, I'm going to clear this up because I want to remind you of the fact that the gathered church is about a decision you made sometime in your life. You don't just become a church member. You follow through with something that happens. Once you're saved, the first thing you do to become a member of a church is to join it by being baptized. I remember being baptized. You remember that? Yeah, that's good. I remember that. I got saved on a Sunday night, January the 1st, 1956. Our church was baptizing that night, so my daddy said to me, "Jerry, go get you a change of clothes and we'll baptize." Within 15 minutes of being saved, I was baptized. But you know, the next day I went to school and told my buddy, I said, Doug, we were sitting on the rock wall out there by the elementary school playground. I said, Doug, the most wonderful thing happened to me last night. I said it in 10-year-old language, so it might not sound that fluffy. But I said, the most wonderful thing happened to me last night in church. I got saved. You know, I didn't say I got baptized. I said I got saved. And Doug said to me, Jerry, that's great. Just a few weeks ago, I'd gotten saved. There are two 10-year-old little boys on the playground of an elementary school just talking about being saved. Isn't it great to be saved? Now, you need, if you're saved, the first act of obedience is baptism. And in that sense, baptism is not optional. You're either obeying the command of God to be baptized, or you're not. And if you're not, then you're disobeying God. If you're here today and you're saved and haven't been baptized, you need to come today and submit to this church for baptism. And it's the answer of a good conscience toward God. You'll feel good about it. You'll be wondering, why hasn't my life been working out? Well, you haven't done the first thing of being a Christian, which is to openly profess your faith in Christ. Now, for other people who've been saved and scripturally baptized by another Baptist church that's sound in their faith, you need to transfer your membership. Isn't it amazing how some people attend a church but never join it? That's sort of a recent phenomenon, where people will come to a church, they like the music, or they like the preaching, or they like the friendliness of the church, but they never become a member, and they never transfer their membership. Most of them are really emotional about it. I've met a few of them like that, you know, that, well, we just don't want to join a church because our membership is back in the old, you know, where we were growing up, and our grandmother is buried in the old country cemetery there by the church. And they're real emotional about it. And my answer to them would be, well, dig up Grandma and come on. We'll put her in the flower pot. All right? Amen. It's important for you to join the church that you're attending. You see, living together isn't marriage, and just showing up in church, it doesn't mean you're really a member of a church. So it's really a decision you made somewhere in your past. If you connected to a church, you made a decision to step out and step forward and identify yourself with that church. And it's also, the gathered church should be our delight. Folks, these are not dull, drab, dreary moments. We should be glad we're coming to church. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at His temple. You see, we're here to meet God. Now, we stumble into other people while we're here. We meet new people. We meet some of our older friends. But we're here to meet God. We're here to listen to God. We're here to obey God. We're here to follow God. So we ought to be delighted to gather here. The last year of my daddy's life, he had retired years before, about 20 years before actually, but the last year of his life, he was surviving on one heart artery that was open 10%. He was a weak little puppy. And when he found that out, he thought he was going to die like Jacob. He was going to put up his feet in the bed and go to be with his people. But he did that, and God didn't call him home. So finally, after a few weeks of that, he said to my mom, Mama, you think maybe I could make our way, get up out of the bed and make our way over to that chair, just in the same room, not 5 or 6 feet from where he had been laying for weeks? And she said, you can if you want to. And he said, well, I really want to. So my mama helped my daddy up out of bed carefully and got him over to the chair and sat down. Boy, that was a tiring event for him. But he did that every day for several days until finally said to Mama, Mama, you think maybe I could take breakfast in the kitchen with you? She had always brought him his breakfast. And she said, you can if you want to. And he said, well, I really want to. So he made it past the chair that day and made his way into the kitchen and sat down, and they enjoyed breakfast together for several days. And finally he said, Mama, you think maybe I could go out there in the den where the television is, said there's not much on there, but I remember us enjoying sitting down watching television together. And she said, "You can if you want to." So he got up and they made it past the chair, and had their breakfast at the dining table, and finally in the den, and just sat there a while. Did that for several days. To finally said to my mother, said, "Mama, you think we could go to church?" He'd been out of church for 3 or 4 months, maybe more. And she said, "Well, we can if you want to." The church was just next door. He was living in a house next door to the church my brother pastored. And so that week they did their little routine, built up some little steam along the way, and got up. And then finally on Sunday morning, my mama helped my daddy dress, and got his Sunday go-to-church clothes on. And they got in the car. Mama drove just next door. And he was back in church. It was so good for him. Finally, after several weeks of going to church one time a week, my dad said to my mama, said, "Mama, do you think maybe we could go to the second service?" "Can if you want to." So that next week they worked on both services. Before you knew it, he was at Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He became a real pest. He had a little NASCAR motor on his walker. Wherever he'd go, he'd sneak up behind somebody and give him a little goose with that little thing going on, telling him he was a mess. But for weeks now, he's back in church to all the church services. Amazing people. Finally, my brother said to him, said, "Daddy, I'm going to be gone next week. I'm preaching out. Would you maybe think about preaching for me?" He hadn't preached in probably 2 years. And he asked my mother and said, "Mom, do you think maybe I could preach next week?" "Can if you want to." So now his routine's a little bit different. He gets up, has his breakfast. Instead of going to the den, he goes to his study where he'd studied for years. Opened his Bible. Got a little sermon together. Sunday morning they got in the car and Mama drove him over next door. It came time to preach. They helped him up five steps to the pulpit. They helped him set his little walker to his side. He held onto the pulpit and preached a 20-minute sermon. Got through and sat back down. 8 days later, he went to heaven. My brother's kind of got a twisted sense of humor. He said, "If I knew that was all the thing holding Daddy up, I'd have called on him to preach earlier." You know what I'm telling you today? You can do a lot more than you're doing. You can do a lot more than you're doing. Sometimes old people, I am one of you, so I'll just talk to you while old people using it, our age for an excuse. We ought to be in church as much as we're able to. Married people with baby adults, you know, these little adult people, little children, they use their children for an excuse. Sometimes you'll use your job for an excuse. It ought to be your delight to come to the house of God. Amen. Now, I've got to hurry on. What about when you don't feel like it? Well, you need to work on your feelings and put them out of the way, because really, gathering is a duty. It's just flat a duty. It's one of those things in the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together." I mean, even if you aren't feeling like it, you're not to be an emotionally driven person. You're to be a Bible-driven person. You need to be in church even when you don't emotionally feel like it. Right. Now, you'll feel better coming to church. I heard about a guy that just wasn't going to go to church. He just wasn't going to go, and got up on Sunday morning and said, "I'm not going today." And the wife said, "Well, you got to go." And he said, "Well, you got to give me 3 reasons. And she said, "Number one, the Bible teaches you to go into church." She said, "Well, you're right about that, but I don't do everything the Bible says anyway." And she said, "Well," he said, "what's number two?" He said, "Well, number two is you feel better when you go to church." He said, "Well, you got me there. I always feel better in church." And he said, third one better be good. And she said, it is. You're the preacher. I know the preacher loves being here every week, but I'll tell you, some weeks we wish there's another preacher sometimes. Sometimes our burdens are so heavy, and sometimes we're so distracted by things that we really just don't want to get after it. You know, the Bible says Christians need church now more than they ever have. That Hebrews 10:25, so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's more important to go to church right now than it's ever been. Amen. Let me hasten on. If you're going to gather with the church, be sure you have the right disposition, the right spirit. Church gatherings can be destructive. They can be divisive. They can be deadly. Where two or three Baptists are gathered together, there'll be five opinions. And sometimes those opinions are more important than God's will in some churches. You can gather with the wrong spirit. I mean, you better be careful that a visitor doesn't sit in your preferred seating area. I've been a pastor long enough to know that everybody sits generally where they are going to sit at any time. You need to make sure you don't have the wrong spirit about your place in church. If you really want to mess up your pastor real bad, all of you sit somewhere else tonight. He'll think nobody ever showed up, right, preacher? So, well, I'm not going back to church because somebody hurt my feelings. Walmart hurts my feelings all the time. And I can't stay away from that place. And we need to make sure that we're not letting our feelings, you know, being offended by nobody ever calls on me or nobody ever asks me or whatever else. You know, somebody else says, well, I'm not going to church anymore because nobody down there knows me. Yeah, and you're the ones that comes in 10 minutes late and leaves right at the end of the service and don't let anybody greet you, and you're the one that's got the problem right. It's not other people. Churches I've pastored have been known to be very friendly churches, but you can always find a crank every now and then. Don't let that one crank keep you out of church. Don't do it. Well, somebody says, well, the killer for me is I just don't like our preacher. Well, Sister Crystal doesn't like the preacher very much either sometimes. She's stuck with him. Hey, you ought to love your preacher. Thank God for him. Thank God for his faithful ministry here to your church. And by the way, if you fall out with a preacher, that's a dangerous thing. That's right. You're cutting off your family from the possibility of hearing the gospel. Don't have a bad attitude toward the preacher. Now, here's my final statement, and how about an amen for the final statement? Amen. Final statement, amen?
Amen?
All right, that's okay, that's fine. In order to be able to navigate all those areas, you're going to need to have the right devotion to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is not sort of a checklist that you kind of work on and kind of get it done. This is about you having an ongoing first love for Jesus. So many things can get you away from God that you can be tempted to say, well, I'm just not going to be a church man anymore. I want to remind you, Jesus started the church. You can't have a Christian life without a church life. Now you say, what do you mean? I didn't say you couldn't be saved. I said you can't have the Christian life. God has ordained that if you're going to develop as a Christian, you're going to have to do it among other believers.
Right.
And the most important thing is not how you like people, it's how much you love Jesus.
Yes.
And today, you know, if you want to have this one day revival that I'm preaching for you, you're going to need to fall back in love with Jesus. And if you do, he's going to point you straight to the church and say, get back in there and get back on fire for the Lord and keep doing my work down there. Anyone, anytime, anywhere can have a one-person revival. right here today, some of you have, you're on the verge of things, maybe thinking about, well, I'm not sure that I'm really highly committed to that. Maybe you're not directing your family into a deep church connection. You need to be careful about that. Because God's will for all of our lives is to follow Him through the Lord's churches. Both the problem and the solution for revival is right here. The problem is some are slipping. The solution is we can stop that. And today I'm praying that God will allow you to do what the Bible says. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Return unto the Lord and He'll return unto you. It's not really that profound at all. Stand with me for prayer and I'll have a prayer and then there'll be an invitation given. You can respond as God directs you today. And may the Lord genuinely work in our lives to give us a deep appreciation for what He's done in giving us not only Himself, but giving us His church. Father, it's my prayer today that You would be just glorified in the fact that our Savior is the one who not only saved us, but gave us a way that we can live to your glory. And we intend to do that as long as we live. We want to not only be a Jesus man, but a church man. And I pray that there'll be a renewal of that simple, simple truth that as we pursue Christ, we'll do that through your local church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.